We are 90% of the way there for a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. We are 100% of the way there for security guarantees. Or are we any percent of the way there? Depends on who you ask. And we're going to show people who have very different viewpoints on this and the dispute and the difference between the two, the gulf between the two, really tells you all you need to know about what is the real state of play in the Russia-Ukraine war and where it is likely headed. Some of this won't be a surprise, but we have for you, in case anyone is unsure, we have back with us again today, Professor John J. Mearsheimer, international relations theorist and expertise, and also professor of political science at the University of Chicago. John, welcome back as always.
Glad to be here as always, Danny.
Well, I'm eager for our conversation today, as I always am when you come up, but there's a lot of real big issues on the plate today, and we're going to start off in the Russia-Ukraine war. We're going to talk about Iran in a minute because that's really kind of hot, and you can't not talk about that, but I don't want to lose too much the focus, at least on what's happening on the other war that is already raging in Ukraine and where the prospects are of getting that resolved anytime soon. First of all, that people may have seen this several weeks back. There was this in the Politico. They were having some stuff. This is from earlier this month. Ukraine peace plan is 90% ready, Zelensky told everybody. Says, yeah, we're nearly there. And it was echoed even on the U.S. side a couple of times. We're 90% of the way there. Funny thing is, I never heard anything about 90% on the Russian side. Well, today somebody did ask Sergei Lavrov in Moscow about that 90%.
В процентном соотношении. Вот американцы и украинцы говорят, 90% согласовано. А если вот так вот в общих чертах?
Ну, вы это сами как думаете? Это серьезный разговор?
Но это и не похоже на правду.
90% от чего отмерять?
От общего целого пакета соглашения. Который...
Но у нас пакет соглашения предъявлен для президента в июне 2024 года и неоднократно подтверждался. Переговорщики наши будут продолжать общаться в любом формате, и они свое дело знают, и когда все будет уже понятно, я уверен, пресса будет прет.
So you could physically see the reaction in his body when he says 90%. 90% on what? And it was ironic because it was supposed to be a rhetorical question, but he paused and waited for the reporter to answer, which put him in a pretty awkward place. But anyway, the point being, though, that he just, it was exasperated about 90%. Nothing has changed since June of 2024. He again goes back to that. And I think that's very telling. What does that tell you when he keeps circling back to June 2024?
I think, as I've said on a number of occasions in the past, this is one giant kabuki dance. This is kabuki theater. I mean, this is crazy. There is no evidence that the two sides are close to an agreement. The Russians laid out their demands, which are non-negotiable, in June of 2024, and they haven't moved off those demands. And there's no evidence that Ukraine and Europe, and the United States for that matter, have accepted almost all of the Russians' demands, where they've worked out some sort of agreement that will satisfy the Russians. They're light years apart, and the West is basically engaged in this game of saying we're 90% there, or saying that the only remaining issue is territory. I love this one. The only remaining issue is territory. And if the Ukrainians agree to give up Donbass, we will then give Ukraine, we meaning the United States, security guarantees, and that will be the end. We will have a deal. This is crazy. The Russians have said from the beginning that the key issue on the table is NATO, is Ukraine being in NATO, and the United States giving Ukraine an Article 5 security guarantee is a de facto version of Ukraine being in NATO. And it's very clear the Russians will not accept that. The Russians will not accept an American security guarantee. That is the key issue, not territory. But that's not to deny that territory is a key issue. And just on the subject of territory, there's all this talk about Ukraine giving up the Donbass. the Russians have made it unequivocally clear that it's not just the two oblasts that comprise the Donbass that are at issue here. It's also Kherson and Zaporozhye. And they insist, the Russians, that Ukraine remove their forces completely from those two oblasts, which the Russians have now annexed. So there are just all sorts of issues that haven't been resolved here.
And you know, that's a part of the reason for the confusion is about 2 weeks ago, Steve Witkoff, before he went to, on one of his trips to Moscow, stirred up a lot of controversy by himself saying, not 90%, but he said that there's only one issue left. Now, when you look at the terms of the 2014 deal, primarily no NATO, neutrality, demilitarization, denazification, and the territorial submission of all those four territories. Those are four things. So if he's saying there's only one, I'm like going, wow, that's a big deal if those other ones are there. And then there was a little bit more controversy stirred up when some on the Russian side, and I don't remember if it was Peskov or Lavrov, but one or both of those guys eventually said, you know, they specified, well, you have to withdraw, meaning Ukraine has to withdraw from all of the Donbass area, but they didn't specify Kherson or Zaporizhia. And that left a lot of people to think, oh, maybe there's going to be some room, and they're going to say the line of contact will just be the de facto border down in the south, and just those two would have to be withdrawn. And so for a while, it looked, or at least in the Western mind, it looked like people were saying maybe there's some compromise possible on the Russian side, then we can work with something like that. That was quashed after that. But look, before I have to talk about that, what did you think about that whole dynamic there over the, about 2 weeks ago?
All I care about, Danny, is for the Russians to say, we don't require all of Kherson and we don't require all of Zaporozhye. We have not heard that. And in fact, to the extent they've talked about that issue, they have made it clear they want all of those two oblasts, which they have formally annexed. What you get here is the West telling these stories that bear little resemblance to reality and are mainly designed for propaganda purposes. It's designed to give people hope that this war could be settled soon, that we can work out some sort of negotiation, and all we have to do is keep the Ukrainians in the fight until we get this deal. The fact is, there is no deal, and this one's going to be settled on the battlefield. And the Ukrainians, as we've said on countless occasions, are in deep trouble.
Now, let's talk about the reality here. So lots of words, lots of claims, lots of pretending that there's openings where there probably isn't, while you're saying that there isn't. And then even with all of that chaos I just described there, toward the end of that two-week period, you had Zelensky come out and just categorically say, hey, I ain't giving up nothing. I'm not going to give up even the Donbass. So that's what we're going to do. Russia's going to have to compromise. So if you have the single most important Western figure saying that when Trump has been saying he's going to bring this war to an end for now more than 12 full months, what should the United States make of him making those kinds of statements?
Well, the United States is used to him making outrageous statements. And what we do is we just let him make those statements. And we slowly but steadily try to wean ourselves from the Ukraine war. And what we're trying to do is get the Europeans to pick up the slack. Trump understands this is a hopeless cause. The idea that he's going to be able to coerce or cajole the Ukrainians and the Europeans into accepting a deal that's satisfactory to the Russians, it's just not going to happen. Trump understands that. And so he lets the Europeans babble and he lets Zelensky battle and he understands full well that this one will be settled on the battlefield.
Well, and in the category of Zelensky babbling, what I told you, there was something happened a week or two ago, but yesterday he actually says, and it has been for the last couple of days, been saying, hey, folks, we are 100% of the way there for U.S. security guarantees. It's already agreed. America and Ukraine are both lockstep. All we're waiting for is a signing ceremony. Now, that was, I think, 4 days ago he first said that. I have yet to see a single statement out of anyone in the United States that says, yeah, we're 100% there, and we're going to sign the paper on XYZ date. So I'm not sure what he means on that, but Lavrov was also asked about the security guarantees this morning.
Гарантии безопасности были согласованы в апреле 2022 года в Стамбуле. Причем предложен основной проект этих гарантий был самой украинской стороной. Мы этот проект поддержали. Потом вы знаете историю, когда Борис Джонсон, тогдашний премьер-министр Британии, запретил им подписывать соответствующую договоренность, которая уже была парафирована. А те гарантии обеспечивали коллективный характер безопасности, неделимый характер безопасности, включая безопасность и Российской Федерации, и всего региона, где расположена Украина. Так что мы будем смотреть на реальные предложения и не будем ориентироваться на те самые публичные игры.
So he seems to be talking there about something that, yeah, I guess you're identifying as these, you called it the kabuki dance. He's calling it these public games. Doesn't seem to be going anywhere, but he always, the Russians always circle back to history. June 2024 was in the previous one. This one's going back to April 2022, where they're saying, hey, here's your security guarantees right here. Is Russia just playing games themselves, or do they actually mean that?
No, you have to pay careful attention to the language. They were talking about security guarantees in March, April 2022. These are the Istanbul negotiations. But if you look at that clip again, the word common is in there, right? It was a common security guarantee. That meant that the Russians were involved in the security guarantee, and they would have a veto on whether or not the United States could move military forces into Ukraine. What the Ukrainians are now talking about is a security guarantee basically between the United States and Ukraine alone. And if Ukraine and the United States want to put American military forces in Ukraine to come to the rescue of Ukraine, the United States is free to do that. It doesn't matter what the Russians think. That's what Zelensky wants. But the Russians say, no way you're going to get a security guarantee that looks like that. If you get a security guarantee, it'll be a common security guarantee, which is another way of saying that the Russians will be involved and the Russians will have a veto. So these are, you know, two different animals, and it's quite clear what the Russians want, and it's quite clear what Zelensky wants. And the Russians are not going to allow the United States to give Ukraine a security guarantee.
Now, let me ask you on that security guarantee, since Zelensky keeps on trotting out that piece of paper and saying, I have 100% agreement with the United States, but we have not heard a single, at least I haven't heard of a single acknowledgement from the U.S. What is he talking about?
Who knows? I mean, the fact is, as I said before, the United States is going in the opposite direction. We're not interested in giving a security guarantee to Ukraine. We want the Europeans to shoulder the burden of helping Ukraine secure itself against a potential Russian attack. We want the Europeans to do this. If you look at the various national security documents coming out of the White House and coming out now of the Pentagon, it's quite clear that we would like to pivot out of Europe and pivot to East Asia and put the burden of dealing with European security squarely on the shoulders of European countries. So this idea that we're going to get involved in giving a security guarantee, a meaningful security guarantee to the Ukrainians, you know, is at odds with what's really happening in American foreign policy vis-a-vis Europe.
And the silence from Washington and the absence of any comment on that and the observation of what exactly you talk about is definitely not lost in Moscow, certainly not on Vladimir Putin. Yet he seems still willing to engage in diplomacy. And I think it was yesterday, Yuri Ushakov made a comment about, hey, you know what, Zelensky, you're welcome to Moscow anytime.
И президент наш тоже несколько раз, общаясь с журналистами, говорил, что если Зеленский действительно готов к встрече, то мы, пожалуйста, мы приглашаем его в Москву и при этом гарантированно обеспечим безопасность его и необходимые условия для работы.
So the way I see that, and tell me what you think, is that the operating condition, because of all the factors that you just talked about, from Moscow's position is we're going to settle this on the battlefield. There's not going to be negotiations because no one's going to agree to anything we can live with. So the only thing left to us is military. We'll just keep going. However, if sanity returns to you, the door is open. Do you see it any different than that?
No, I think that's right. But I think there's another dimension to it, Danny. And that is that there's sort of two wars taking place here. One is the war on the battlefield, and the other is the public relations war. Diplomacy of any meaningful sort is off the table here. There's a public relations war, and the Russians want to go to great lengths to convince people around the world that they are reasonable. And they want to convince Trump that they're reasonable because they don't want to pick a fight with Trump. The Russians are fully aware of how powerful the United States is and how it makes sense from a strategic point of view for them, the Russians, to have good relations with the Trump administration. So the Russians participate in this kabuki dance, and they allow Zelensky to say these outrageous things and even Trump to say outrageous things. And then they correct them and make it clear what their position is. And then we go on and replay the game again and again. But it just doesn't add up to anything of any consequence. The idea that we're going to have a negotiated settlement as a result of this kabuki dance, it's just not going to happen. We may have a negotiated settlement at some point. I'd call it an armistice, similar to what you had at the end of the Korean War in 1953. But that's because events on the battlefield will cause the two sides to come to the table and sign an armistice. But the idea that you can work out some sort of meaningful peace agreement before then, it's just not going to happen. The two sides are just light years apart. And of course, many people in the West will say, and Zelensky says all this all the time, let's have a ceasefire, right? We don't need a negotiated settlement. Let's start with a ceasefire. The Russians have made it unequivocally clear, no ceasefire. So that's a meaningless discussion. But nevertheless, people like Zelensky and others in Europe,